says, lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. I would like to preach to you for a few moments on the title, When a Man Falls. When a man falls. Not if, but when. You want to pray for us real quick? Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. A just man falls seven times and rises up again. Now tune in. You only got me for about 40 minutes. That means if you are a child of God, you will fall at some point in your life. Every person in this room will fall. Will. Not if. Will. Psalms 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. So the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and even though they're ordered of the Lord, you're still going to fall. And when he falls, he will not be cast down. Why? Because the Lord will hold him up with his hand. Now, just to keep things in context, are you going to see God's hand come down out of heaven and walk along with you to keep you from falling again? No. What is God's hand? Well, I would tell you it's attached to his body. So the first thing we want to make sure is very clear is I know there are some people that think they are spiritual supermen and superwomen. But you are going to fall. You're going to fall. You're going to stumble. It's a reality because we're still human. The problem is, we don't always recognize what falling looks like. If I were to trip coming down off this platform and I were to fall, it'd be very obvious to everybody. And you would laugh at my expense and you'd get up and go on. But in the spirit, how can we tell when somebody falls? First of all, no one likes to fall. Especially in front of other people, you get embarrassed if you fall. Anybody ever fall in public and you get embarrassed? Nobody likes to fall. So if we're embarrassed falling in public naturally, then what do you think is going to happen when we fall spiritually? Someone said to me not long ago, they started missing some church. Always a measuring stick. Always, always, always. Always, not maybe, not sometimes, always. Well, just so you know, it's not this, it's not that, and it's not this, and don't blame this, and it's me. And I didn't respond, but I wanted to say, I know it's you. I know that. Somebody else might be helping you along. They may not be helping your cause, but you're falling right now, and you don't realize it. You're on the fall, and if you're not around the body, there will not be a hand to pick you up when you fall. That's why the enemy tries to detach people from the church. So there's nobody there to pick you up when you fall. But no matter what, I have found that it doesn't matter how hard you try or what you do, people start ignoring phone calls. They don't return messages anymore. It's like everything that you do to reach out, oftentimes, why? Because when people fall, they're embarrassed. And Satan takes that embarrassment and he begins to magnify an individual's shame and their guilt. And so they start avoiding the very thing that would make them feel further guilty or shamed. When you look in the Bible, the Bible is full of people that fail. I'm not talking about just some literal examples. The prodigal fell. By the end of his fall, he was so far deep in the swine slop that he had nowhere to go. And only then was he able to look up and say, there's a hand of help waiting for me at my Father's house. I may not be able to be restored to my former post. Wasn't a guarantee, but in his mind. But if I just go home, there's someone there to help me out of this mess. Job fell. Most people don't look at Job as falling. From the beginning into the ending of the book of Job, Job was an absolute mess. He was a train wreck. His mind was not right, as many's would not be. Adam and Eve fell. They fell hard. God removed them from the garden, because sometimes when you fall, you cannot continue in a position of leadership. I had one, yeah. That doesn't mean you cannot be redeemed or restored, but your life and your walk with God is more important than a position or a title. Jonah fell. When he fell, by the time his fall was done, he was living in the belly of a well, thought for sure he's going to get digested alive, spent 3 days crying out to God, apologizing for his stupidity, for his foolishness, and miraculously, as always, God heard him. Go figure that. God hears you when you fall. David fell. David fell hard. David wound up in a tangled web that he himself weaved. And before it was done, David's killing people and taking the dead man's wife to be his own. Why? Because when you fall so hard, your spiritual intuition is not what it used to be. Because every step of failure or of falling, it happens to numb your spiritual nerves. That's how people get to the point where they will now do things they would not do before. And so the only way up is to call out to the Lord. But you got to acknowledge you've fallen. David, Jonah did not shy away from being honest about himself. The prodigal did not shy away from saying, this is my own dumb fault. David didn't shy away. Before repentance was a thing, David repented. And he told God, don't blame the people. Blame me. It was me. I did it. You see, with falling must come acknowledgement, not to shame us or guilt us, but our restoration comes through confession. It comes through confession. I think this is a little loud. I don't know what you guys are doing, but it's blowing my ears out too. You can make sure it don't cut my monitors all the way off, but Samson fell before Samson was done. Samson apologized to God and repented. His strength returned to him because of his repentance. And then Peter, he fell. He swore he would not fall, as many people do. If I could tell you the amount of people over the years told me, and I know you get tired of hearing this stuff, but don't worry about me, Pastor. I'll be all right. I had one person, I remember the years of conversations. They're not here tonight. They haven't been here for months and months and months. And I remember them telling me specifically, Brother Kenny, I could tell you where I was on the phone. And they're like, oh, Pastor, you know, don't worry about me. I always get back up. And I said, one day you're not going to get back up. And they're not here and have not been here for 6 months. Because one day, Samson, your strength will go from you. Because nobody can do this thing without the Lord's help. And so we know that we're going to fall. The question is, there's two questions to that. Number one, why do we fall? Oh, give me a few minutes. I want to see if I can say this in a nice way. The hardest and most frustrating thing, single-handedly, as a pastor, is, as we talked, and they did such a great job at men's conference, and you beg people and you warn people, and they just don't listen. They just go and just do whatever they want to do anyway. It doesn't matter. That's the number one reason people fall, because they don't listen. I briefly mentioned, again, it's men's conference message, powerful, but Paul, when he warned them not to go to Crete, and one of the things that the evangelist said, which was so good, just so good, and you know, I can tell you, as a pastor, most pastors were amening this sermon more than the other people were. I could see people just kind of sitting there, The pastor's like, my God, he's preaching now. Because we're warning people, don't go to Crete, and they get up because they're more experienced, they're more knowledge. You're not a seaman. Who are you to tell us when to sail? We know these waters. We know our ship. And they did, and it ended in disaster. And so the first reason people fall is they don't listen. You know why people don't listen? Because they want what they want. They don't want to wait on God. And I, you see this in young couples a lot right now. And it's, quite honestly, you just want to slap the living daylights out of people. You really do. They want everything. Just give me a minute to meddle. You start driving, go out and take on a $400, $500 car payment. What idiot approved that? What happened to the days of jalopies? My first vehicle was a jalopy. It was a Datsun manual transmission, four-wheel drive truck. The bed was rotted out to high heaven. I loved that truck. It was cool. It was really cool. But now, kids, now they got to get, you know, got to get big trucks and got to get new cars and big payments. And you know, so what happens is when the pastor sits down in marriage counseling and says, oh, God, oh, Lord, here, I'll talk to you because most other people don't listen to me anyway. Don't have a baby for 3 years. It takes time to get the relationship accoladed. I know your mom's going to want a grandchild. I know it. And I'm right there beside her. But don't for 3 years. You got to enjoy your young marriage now. Get some of the kinks worked out. They don't just fix themselves. The baby is not an experiment. Because, oh, I want one. It's not a toy. It's not a stuffed animal. Do you see how many kids are wrecked out there in the world now? What do we need to get through our thick, thick, concrete, nuclear bomb-proof skull? That's just a pet peeve there. And so you tell them. You know, you also give a whole bunch of other things. Most people, that's why I don't even care about marriage counseling anymore. No one listens. I'm not going to waste my time. I know you will. And listen, because he's my son. He'd have more of a right not to listen to any of them because he hears my voice all the time. I know it gets just God-awful, excruciatingly whatever. I know that, but he still listens. He does. You just don't know. You have to be me. You have to have done all these marriages over the years. And 2 days later, 2 months later, 2 years, now we're getting divorced. It's just not working. We're irreconcilable differences. That's what it sounds like. Nails on a chalkboard. What, were you an idiot when you stood at the altar and you said, I will to death do it? Were you a total blatant, bungling fool, idiot? So, I'm getting hot. So, most people fall because they don't listen. They just don't listen. Now, you don't have to listen, Brother Jerome. He listened. And you know what? And Jasmine and Matthew were here. They listened. I think Kristen and Brian listened, but I don't even know if they like each other. So, they don't really count. I'm just kidding. Can he listen? So, we're getting a little better. We're getting a little better. I know I'll probably miss a few people here. I don't know about Brandon and Connie. Sometimes, I'm just kidding. Now, they've done a good job listening too. But that's just one example. You know, when it comes to life decisions and people, when they come to you and you say, I wouldn't do that right now, and they just still go do it anyway. And you're like, I know I heard myself talking because I can't stand hearing myself talk because I talk so much. And I know I just said, so people fall because they don't listen. That's one reason. Just don't, and not just listen to the pastor, not just listen to counsel or advice. How about listen to God? I can tell you times the Lord spoke things to me, and I decided I'm going to listen. I shared one with you on Sunday when I shut that camera off. Why? Because I have learned if a man of God's going to pick up the phone and call me out of the blue and say, I'm just not feeling good about this, after I've prayed about it, I'm either a total idiot and should put this microphone down, or I'm going to listen. Why? In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You're safe there. You're safe seeking. And young people don't like to seek counsel because their egos are too big. No, really, I'm being honest. And young people, don't worry, because there's a lot of older people that are, they're just as bad, if not worse, because they get more set in their ways anyway. So people fall for a variety of reasons. I just gave you a couple of my pet peeves. But they fall for a variety of reasons. And sometimes people just fall because they're not equipped for life, equipped for spiritual warfare. They're not equipped for the battles that come to them. Sometimes they're just not equipped for the storms that flow into their life. That's why we have the parable of the seed and the sower. You got to go back and read it. And so those things, then, they really rattle people and uproot people. But the question is, when someone falls, we know why now we fall, just a few examples, but then the next question is, what do we do about it? What do we do? I'll tell you what the church has been accustomed to doing. I'm not just saying PCC at all, but I will say we're guilty too. There they go again. You know, out there in the world backsliding. And in reality, they are. But that doesn't help somebody when they're down. That doesn't help somebody. I don't often give people, people say a lot of things to me, and I do process stuff. I process everything. I process everything. That's why my brain is a mess. But I think I shared it with you. But Nicole was talking to me here a couple weeks ago, and she says, you know, Pastor, she goes, when people are going through these really bad places and they're missing church, she says, that's the time when they don't need a dad to yell at them. They need a dad to tell them it's going to be okay. And I got to be honest with you, it just stuck with me. It stuck with me. I know it, but sometimes you need to hear things. And because you, why? We get frustrated when people fall. Come on. Honey, don't run. I told you not to run. I told you you were going to fall. And we get up, we upset at them. Sometimes we grab them, yank them up. Now maybe you'll listen next time. Good for you if you're bleeding. Don't amen that too loud there. This is Lori starts speaking in tongues. But we get frustrated. Why do we get frustrated? Because they didn't listen and they hurt themselves. But the hardest part of pastoring and parenting is you got to learn that they're not always going to listen. And so you're going to have to let them shock themselves in a light socket. No. Oh my God, Pastor, no. Well, go ahead. You chase them around for the rest of your life and just see how much they're looking to you when they turn 18. They're going to be like a rebellious whatever, wanting to bust out. And sometimes you got to teach them to fall with grace. Now, if you do this, I'm just telling you, it's probably not going to work out. I'm just letting you know. And then you do. And then what happens? They come to you. I thought he was going to come back behind me and maybe just like hit me with a slingshot or something. So anyway, how we respond is of the utmost importance. And a mature church has to respond maturely to people. Now, here's one of the unseen things that I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it because it's been one of my greatest challenges. When people fall and you love people, it hurts. It hurts. It hurts. I mean, it just hurts. And the longer you've been around them or they've been a part of your life and you've loved them the hard. My pastor told me when we started, he said, just wait until you've married them and you buried their dead and you dedicate their children. They just get up and leave. And it took, you know, about, you know, 17, 18, 20 years for that to happen. But when it happened, I'm like, wow, that really hurts. I mean, that hurts. It hurts. But so we have to teach people to fall with grace. Tell them you're going to fall. Now, don't use that as an excuse to be dumb. But when you do, when you fall, just know that everybody falls. You got to get back up. Whether you fall because you were dumb and didn't listen, whether you fall because you were going too fast in life, whether you fall because you wanted things you shouldn't have had, whatever it is, just get back up. You can do it. Get back up. You can do it. And I will be here to help you up. I will be here to hold your hand. Listen, I'm not text message. Hey, listen, I'm not texting you because you weren't in church for the last four services. I'm just letting you know I miss you and I love you. And if you need me, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. And that's frustrating because sometimes they don't take a hold of it. They don't take that stretched out hand. But you can't do that. You can't control people. As hard as that is, you just got to make sure that you're there to help them get back up. So when I want you to think of people right now, and you know somebody that's fallen, what are you going to do? Yelling at them, telling them they didn't listen, tell them they were foolish, all those things, it's just not going to help. It doesn't help because people already know why they fell. They know. They know I did exactly what you told me. And here, the problem with falling, sometimes it takes a while to understand the repercussions of your fall. You young people, I'm going to go right back over here. Because he can't get mad at me. I'll kick him out of the house, even though he's moving. I still got a couple days I can kick him out. I'm going to go and evict you just to show you who's boss. Get out! What was I going to say? I don't remember. I'll come back to it. I don't remember. I will. It'll come back to me. Just give me a few minutes. So, we know now why a man falls. We all have to answer within ourselves, what are we going to do when they fall? And I want you to think of someone right now that you know that has fallen. And I want you to think about maybe how you've handled that fall, you know, and what can you do to help them in that fall? What can you do that's going to help them recover rather than step on them when they're down or insult them or tell them it's just because you didn't listen? Because that right there can be the determining factor if somebody comes and is restored or if they just stay away from God. And many times people will stay away from God. Now, we already know that when they begin to fall away from God, they already draw conclusions in their mind that you're judging them now. And that now they think they're better than I am. And then Satan begins to work, the accuser of the brethren. See, you know, they don't care. All they care is if you showed up. No one cares where you are. And they don't understand. And all this stuff goes through their head. And it begins to drive them. But if we handle the fall correctly, we have to ask ourselves, how many people can be restored that have fallen? How many people did we leave down and walk right by? How many people did we just chastise when they fell? I'll start with me. How many people did we not handle the fall correctly? And so we know a man is going to fall. The question is, when they fall, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to, even with our own children? It's no different with our children. How we treat our children when they fall as well. Because learning, everybody's made mistakes and they're learning. Somehow or another, sometimes we become parents and we forget that our children are human beings and they have to learn how to make decisions. And either we're going to try and control them their whole lives and make the decisions for them, and that's not going to work out for you. Or we're going to teach them, okay, go ahead. But if you fall, if you do such and such and such, I don't think you should. But if you do it anyway, don't ask mom and dad to bail you out. you're going to fall, and you have to learn how to handle the fall. So I'm asking you to think with me tonight on people that you know. I really feel like the Lord put this in my spirit for a purpose. How are we going to handle the fallen? Because someday it'll be you or me. I've been there. I've been there when I needed somebody to pick me up. I've been there when I needed somebody to talk me out of making a fall worse than what it already is. We've all been there. Micah 7 and 8, it says, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise." So I want to talk to you for 1 second. If you are here tonight, if you haven't fallen, I want to talk to you for a second. Hear me, please. The first thing I would like you to do when you leave here tonight is say, "God, when I fall, I want you to give me the courage and the strength to get back up." The problem oftentimes with most people when they fall is they don't have the strength or the courage to get back up. Because sometimes the thought of facing the music is just not very appealing to people. And so then we feel guilty or we feel shamed, or we knew if we'd have listened, we wouldn't be in this situation. So we start ducking, dodging, and diving. But then when we do, what's happening is we're never really getting back up. We're staying down. We're allowing this fall to control us and to control our future and to control the outcome. And so if we're going to be a mature church, we have to first learn how to handle the fallen. How to address people when they fall. Honey, when you're done, if you come up and play for me, please. I'm not going to be a whole lot longer. So for those that are here tonight, you have to say, let it be a part of your prayer, "God, when I fall, give me the strength and the courage that I will rise up." David prayed, and he said, "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." David said, "God, I feel pretty good right now, and so I'm going to let you know now when my heart is overwhelmed. I'm preemptively praying because I might not have the strength to pray it then. Lead me someplace that is higher than where I am at that moment, where I can see more clearly and get myself out of that situation." Listen, we got to take this seriously. It is our soul. It is our life. It is our eternity that is always lying in the balance. And so the enemy knows if I can get you when you're down and I can keep you there until you get so cold and you grow so far from God that you have no desire anymore to get yourself back up, he's done exactly what he wants to do. So he prayed and said, "Don't rejoice against me, because when I fall, I will get back up. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me." You putting it on the screen? You don't have it, do you? Micah 7 and 8. I just want people to have it if they don't have it. There's got to be enough determination in you that you pray and you say, "God, when I fall, I'm not going to feel like getting back up." I can already tell you that much right now. How many in this room have been, at least at this point in your walk with God, and maybe it's newer and you haven't been there yet, where you just did not want to keep going? Thank you. That's normal. Because when I fall, because I will rise up. Now, we can't always do that of our own accord. I remember when Excella passed away. Many of you don't know who Excella was. She was a blessing to our church. She fell in her garage. And when she fell, she did not have her panic button on her. And she was unable to get back up. And she lay on that cold garage floor all night long with nobody to help her up. She ultimately lost her life over that fall. She didn't pass away there, but some things happened. Her health declined. The stories of that, Working in law enforcement, one of the things you see is you get a lot of calls from elderly people who have fallen. Sometimes they'll be in a very compromising position when they fall. Sometimes they fall getting out of the bathtub. They fall getting off the toilet. They'll fall going upstairs down, and they can't get themselves back up. And it's got to be humiliating to have to call. Because when you fall, especially depending upon where you fall, it can be very hard to reach out for help. And I've always felt so much for people in that situation when they get to that point and there's nothing they can do to help themselves and they have to reach out for help. And there are people like that. In the spirit, they fall and they're just in a very compromising position spiritually or emotionally. And it takes everything if they reach out for help to reach out for help. And so what do? Well, you have to make sure that the first thing you do is you reassure them, don't worry about it. It's okay. You're not putting us out. You're not inconveniencing me. Because if people said what they felt, they would say, I'm dying. I just really need some help. But I was afraid to ask for it because I know people are mad at me because of this or that. Or it's embarrassing. I know I shouldn't be in this situation. And so when you fall, they fall, he falls, she falls, how are we going to handle the fall? Now for you and I, with the Lord's help, we make that bold proclamation. When I fall, I shall arise. But what happens if you go to get back up and you realize I can't get up on my own? Imagine being Samson. All the strength in the world. There he sits in a prison cell, blinded, humiliated. They're making a sport of him, mocking him. Totally and completely humiliated. No matter what he does, he can't get his strength back. He tries. I'm sure he tried. He'd pull on the cuffs. He'd pull on the chains. And he gets up between those pillars. And when he gets there, he knows deep down inside, if God will hear me, if he'll give me the strength, I can get back to where I was. And so he stands between those two pillars, eyes put out. And he says, God, I know I didn't listen. I know I did exactly what you told me not to do. But if you will give me the strength one more time, I will finish. I will give my life to finish this calling you called me to do. And I'll take every Philistine down I can. And because of that prayer, God did. Sometimes people just can't do it on their own. And although he prayed the prayer, he still could not finish the task by himself. And this big, strong man had to ask a child, can you help me find the pillars? If I can just get to the pillars, I can do this thing. Sometimes I think if people would, they would say, can you just help me get to the altar? If I can just find the altar. If I can just find the altar, I know I can get back to where I was. But it's going to take a lot of patience for the church. A lot of patience. And a little bit of condemnation and judgment. Micah goes on to say, he says, I will bear the indignation of the Lord. He says, whatever God decides because I didn't listen, I'll take it. I accept it. I own it. Because I have sinned against him. Until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth to the light and I shall behold his righteousness. And so he says, I'm going to get back up. And whatever happens because I didn't listen, I will accept that. Sometimes one of the key to continuing on is stop defending your decisions and say, I was wrong. I didn't listen. I'm in a mess. Can you help me? Because I just don't know how to get out of this mess. There's so much at play when a person falls. There's a person that can get back up because he's done it long enough. And he's fallen enough. Up, smack, boom, lump, no big deal. I've done this 1,000 times. I'll be all right. And then there's the person, that can get back up, and he finds the strength to pray that prayer, and he knows God will give him the strength, but he still needs help getting to the altar, Samson. And you got the guy who's in the fish's belly all by himself, and he has got to find his way out of it in the pigsty, wherever he's at, wherever he finds himself. And then you got the one, Brother Kenny, that was beaten and left for dead on the road, because the world doesn't care who it destroys. And they're laying there, half naked, probably thinking within himself, I just hope God sends one person by that will help me. All those other people walked by. Nobody asked me how I'm doing. Nobody offered to help. And finally, it takes a brand new baby in the Lord. It takes a Samaritan. Nobody does more than anybody else did. So it could be that person. You may have to do all the heavy lifting. Because when a person falls, sometimes they don't have the strength to do any lifting whatsoever. The doctor's prescription might be, let them carry it for a while. And so we carry them in prayer into the prayer room. We carry them when we fast. God, put that on me. Pray for them. Restore their strength. So when a person falls, maybe this month of prayer, that it should not be hard to accomplish. Maybe God wants us to pray for the fallen. Maybe it's not about you. Maybe that's somebody that's fallen. Every time you walk around, you go around, you see people that used to be in church, used to come. And you know what happens? There's so much guilt and shame. They can't make their way back. They need somebody to say, listen, you come. I'll meet you at the front door. Text me. I won't be worried about talking to my buddies or friends. I want to do ministry. You don't tell them that part. Meet me at the front door. I'll walk in with you. Or, okay, fine. How about we go have coffee? On me. Let's go have lunch, breakfast. On me. Build that rapport. Make them feel better. Make them feel confident. When a man falls, everything else is contingent upon how we handle it as a church, what we do, how we do it. Would you stand with me? I'll admit to you, confess, my heart hurts sometimes so much when people fall that I get frustrated. But I got to talk myself through it and out of it. I got to tell myself, Sister Nicole, this is not the time to be the correcting dad, pastor, whatever you want to call it. This is the time to be the concerned one, the caring one. I wonder if we would pray tonight for somebody who has fallen. It could be yourself. I promise you, everybody's got somebody on their mind. I wonder if we could pray for them. And then, listen to me. It's 8:10, maybe 8:11 or 12 for those of you that are that literal. When you get done, there's still time. Text them. And just say, I prayed for you tonight. You don't have to say anything back. I just want you to know I loved you enough to pray for you. Whoever that person is, or people, could we do that right now? Could we find a place? And could we just pray for somebody who has fallen? Gracious Father, Lord, there's been times in my life when I've fallen and I needed that gentle touch.
If I have not always been just as gentle, I ask you to forgive me. Have mercy on me. Help me to help somebody that has fallen. I've got people in my mind right now. It hurts just watching them fall. But God, if you'll give us the wisdom and the patience and the love of God on how to handle that fall, we know that with your help, they can be restored. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray as we speak these names, let an angel go to these individuals and minister to them. Minister to them. Let them feel our prayers. Let that angel who we take charge over to go and to minister to that person right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
That Jesus can resolve. In time, he'll get involved. Our God, he cares about us. Wait on the Lord. Yes, wait on the Lord. And wait. It's not a night too dark, a journey too long to embark. Jesus will see you through, in time he'll make you new, 'cause our God, he cares about us.
You've got to wait. I'm not turning back now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The word really stuck with me tonight because there was a time where I walked away from this faith and I walked away from God. And there might have been people in the church that might have thought bad things or ill intent of me, but there were people that continue to pray, and there were people that continue to reach out to me nonstop, take me out to lunch, talk to me, call me, and reach out to me. They didn't call me and say, hey, do you know you're going to hell? They didn't call me and say, hey, do you know what path you're taking? But instead, they showed love and mercy and grace. And time again, I wouldn't have what I have today if it wasn't for people that chose to do exactly what he preached today. So let's pray. Let's take this word home with us. And let's ask God to put this on our heart and on our minds. Not to condemn somebody because they're fallen, but to pick them up. The Bible says, woe to a man that's fallen who has no brother to pick him up. So let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful for your word. We're so thankful for the man of God that you've used him today to preach this masterpiece of a word. And I pray, God, Lord, you picked me up where I was at, Lord. You sent people to speak to me. You sent people to call, to go to lunch, to reach out. And I pray, Lord, God, that you would build this burden, not only just inside of me, but inside of the people in this building. God, that we can reach those, God, that have fallen away, God, that are living the prodigal lifestyle, Lord, that know where they need to be, know where that they're not living right, but they need to get back on track. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us the words to say, God, when the opportunity comes our way and when it arises, Lord, I pray, God, that we would lift them up. God, that we would give them strength. God, that we would help them and nurture them back to health, God, into the kingdom of God. And I praise you and I worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed in Jesus' name.